Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. After Hours, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. JJ Piccolo, what are you thinking your whole way in here, man? You heard Carrington do all his interviews from San Diego to Pittsburgh, back to San Francisco. Carrington, Rob, all over. The Royals kept making moves. They kept getting interviews. It's a beautiful thing.
It was. Made Rob work for his money today, huh? Busy day for him.
But he did, didn't he?
They covered it pretty good, though. I mean, there was a lot happening this afternoon, I got to say. A lot.
Were you expecting this?
I don't think anybody was. I mean, I think going into it a few weeks out, I think we thought they'd be more sellers than buyers. I think, like you said, once
that Lugo deal,
once
was
the
done,
Lugo extension
like,
hit,
all right, they mean business. They're not right. Doing this just for fun.
Yeah, but I still don't think many people thought they'd make this many moves. And not only that, but I mean, somewhat hinting towards maybe shoring up the bullpen or the rotation. But man, I mean, for what they got, I mean, no, I did not expect them to get what they got back for what they gave up, especially.
Well, it was an extremely light day in Major League Baseball today. Just a handful, just a couple games.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what MLB Network says about all these moves tomorrow. And where the Royals said, I mean, if you're a Twins fan, like, how are you feeling right now? Starter after starter, player after player. They'll be selling that team or whatever. It's pretty evident, but they just traded everybody off, man. If you were a Twins season ticket holder, because it's not like the Royals in Cleveland just kind of completely running away from things. They've been kind of lingering around like a fart for all season. Minnesota has, you know what I'm saying? But now, you know, look at that. The Cleveland sits a half game ahead of the Royals in the wild card standings, but yet their all-star closer plus another starting pitcher.
It's like,
in that MLB probe for gambling, they're gone for the year. Well, gone at least till September.
Pretty much for the year. It's almost like being fired, but saying we're going to keep you on for another month or two. I mean, at that point, why? If I know I'm leaving, why am I going to work? Well, what incentive do I have to work?
But it's on, man. It's on, man. Look at the Royals.
The Royals, it is.
Well, Royals in Toronto for three. Then at Boston for three. It's going to be tough. But then at Minnesota for three, right? Minnesota's trading everybody off. See how that goes. Then you come home. You have Washington for three, Chicago for three. They've got Chicago like six more times this month. And I know Chicago's been playing better and all that, but they're still 30 games under 500. Yeah, they're still America's booty call.
They got to take advantage. That's something they haven't been able to do the first half of the season.
But I tell you what, Monday, August 18th, four games, Texas.
Big one.
They sit in front of you. And then it's for Seattle. It's Tuesday, September 16th, 17th, and 18th at the K, Seattle for three. Again, you look at Texas, look at Seattle. Those series are going to be so important because they sit right ahead of the Royals to the promised land to where they want to be. And by that time, you want them to be in position where they can jump ahead of them. I'll tell you what, though, with the Chiefs in camp, first preseason game next weekend, I think the Royals, man, they're garnering your attention too. You're looking at both your left eye and your right eye, watching the Royals, watching the Chiefs. I mean, this is good times. You don't have to completely flip the page to the Chiefs. Like, I know we want to when training camp started, but the Royals doing this, reel you right back in, man. It's good to be in Kansas City right now. It's good to be Seth Lugo and not having to leave. That dude and his wife were happy to be staying in Kansas City, man.
We got paid.
They love it. They love it here. Love the fans here. Love the people here. Love the city. I mean, it was a big kind of Kansas City move as well. They love being here, man, because they're welcome.
Well, he did sign somewhat of a team-friendly deal.
Vern says he saved the Royals $14 million going forward. I get it. I mean, it is cheaper living here than some other places, but, I mean, there's a lot, too. Just raising your kids, staying here in Kansas City, and just going forward, right? The city's got a lot to offer, and guys like Seth Lugo and really enjoyed that. And he was glad to stay in Kansas City. And then you look at today, the trade deadline, J.J. Piccolo extremely happy, and he should be because it was a hell of a day for J.J. Piccolo and the Kansas City Royals. John Sherman, the owner of the Kansas City Royals, wanting to spend on this team and reeling the fans in. But not just the fans, sending a message to that locker room as well. Sending a message to that locker room that, hey, there's no white flags with this team. It's go time, man. If that doesn't send a message to what your boss thinks about you as a player and your faith, his faith in you, I don't know what else would. There wasn't a bunch of guys getting off that plane, but Freddie, and I don't know if you even got on it. Because they held that plane until 5:30 at the tarmac.
They did. I mean,
as long as you don't see luggage and stuff moving off that plane, it's good moves. And granted, the new players, I don't know if you're going to see them. I don't know if they're going to make their way up to Toronto or not. Who knows what's going to happen, but I do expect them in Boston once they get there. So we'll see what happens. Coming up next, though, back to the Kansas City Chiefs and really kind of what everybody's thinking and kind of the mindset of the Chiefs going forward now. Because I love their attitude, and I love the attitude of this offensive line. They're a physical group. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, 8 o'clock hour, After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. You got the game back, you have it on back there, Julio, the Chargers and Lions?
I'm watching it. 14-0 Chargers right now.
14-0 Chargers.
That's correct.
You think people are firing that narrative? Hey, see, told you the Chargers are going to the AFC West.
Yeah.
You know how stupid that would be to be out there, but you will see it.
Probably fuel for the fire. It's absolutely accurate.
People will think it's validation that you're seeing a backup team play against another backup team.
These are pretty much third stringers at this point, you know, and players that probably will not make the team.
Trey Lance, though, man, I'm fire.
It's balling.
Against backup defense. Not bad.
That's right.
Preseason games are fun. Not really.
Hey, remember when the...
They're more funny than fun. But here's the thing. You know how sloppy it is. We've seen an interception. We've seen a fumble. There's been so many things in this game. Doesn't it kind of really make you respect college football a lot? These teams that'll play a tough game in week one instead
I'm
of not a cupcake.
I haven't been excited.
Like K-State playing Iowa State in Dublin.
Yes.
There's no preseason football, man. It is go time.
I'm not normally a college football fan, but I'm pretty excited for this upcoming season. I think with the new format and everything, I don't know. It's just teams are playing tougher schedules, playing games like Ohio State, Texas in the opening game. Like, you didn't see that too often, you know, in the old format, you know, one game and you potentially, you know, out of the playoffs. So I like it. I'm pretty excited for this, man. The teams are playing tougher schedules, and you're seeing the games that you want to see.
I mean, it's fun. It's what makes the NFL draft so fun because you've seen the guys play. The 256, 257, depending on how many comp picks are out there. I mean, there's some undrafted guys that go through. Don't forget Mike Dana didn't go to the combine but still was drafted to the NFL. It happens, but the talent pool is kind of under 300 guys. For guys that'll make a difference. But they find a way to do it, and the Chiefs just continue to find ways. By the way, I saw that Jesse Newell, that covers the Chiefs, by the way, for the star. He actually put a Royals thing out. I'll tell you, it was last night. Get this. The Royals FanGraph playoff odds on July 30th, 2014, as we're now on the 31st, but as of yesterday, they went to Game 7 of the World Series, 2014, right? They lose the Mad Bum. 12.4% was their playoff odds at that point. The Royals playoff odds yesterday for this team, 25 team, 13.1.
All right.
It's a 0.7 difference.
So you're
saying there's a chance.
I don't know that we could quite compare this team to that team, but there's a chance. There's a chance.
It's fun. It's fun to have them both. Both Royals made the playoffs last year. The Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's been fun in Kansas City, man. It hasn't always been this way. You remember. When you first started here, I don't believe the Royals had won yet.
No, that was actually the year that I started. I picked a good 15 season or four, to start. 14.
Okay, but they still hadn't won.
Yeah, no, they were getting there.
But they were winning.
Yes.
They made the postseason. They made the World Series.
Part of winning baseball, that's correct.
When I started here, they were both not winning.
And not winning ugly.
Well, you had the Royals in 2012. You had the Chiefs in 12 team that picked first on the clock in 13. That the 12 season where they didn't have a lead 9 weeks in the season, being compared to the Buffalo Bison. Brian Daboll, everybody's All-American head coach with the Giants, was the offensive coordinator, one of the worst offensive coordinators I've ever seen for the Chiefs that year. Things were bleak. Things were bad.
Look at us now, Bink.
Sporting goes out and wins. The Royals won in 15. Three Super Bowl titles for the Chiefs. It's like it's
the golden era of Kansas City sports.
All these fans are having like 50 Thanksgivings by having all their friends and family over to watch Chiefs in the postseason. Having Super Bowl parties and actually watching the Chiefs.
Yeah. It's still too soon for that, Bink. I'm still not over last.
You should not be that way, man.
I mean, look, we still made it, but that hurts my soul. It was embarrassing, you know?
I mean, it's really unbelievable what happens here. I mean, it's great. It's great you didn't have a baseball team sell off everything. You had them adding at the end. Small market, be damned. They still did it.
You know, I was afraid it was going to be similar to 16, where they, you know, they had the pieces to trade, didn't trade, but also didn't bring anything in. At least they brought some pieces in, some pieces for the future. They might not have sold off what they could have, and I'm fine with them not waving the white flag.
But it's not the end-all be-all. Baseball kind of helps a little bit here and there when you get there. But a lot of trade deadline deals, guys don't live up to the potential they had at their previous team.
Yeah,
the NFL, we see it all the time. And it's like the Chiefs, they didn't go crazy in spending in the offseason, right? And people always want the big-time free agents coming in. And really, 7 of the last 10 years, the teams that were the biggest spenders didn't even make the playoffs.
More often than not, it does not work
out. Last year, the Carolina Panthers spent the most in free agency, and look what happened.
Yeah,
the Titans spent the most in money on the defense of all the teams, and they picked first on the clock.
Yeah, but that's also a little bit deceiving because teams like that, I think, also have to overpay for free agents to come into an organization like that. It's kind of at the bottom right now.
Oh, you do have to overspend. The Royals found this out a long time ago with Gilmesh.
Yeah.
They had to pay him more to play here. I get it. But it's become more of a destination now. And certainly the Chiefs have become a destination for guys that want to win that ring or get to
Chiefs and Royals honestly have.
Well, yeah, but you mean think about the Chiefs. All those primetime games, the 6 primetime games. They have 5 primetime games in the first 8 weeks of the season. That's never happened in the NFL ever. And they're on Thanksgiving and they're on Christmas. You want to be spotlighted and profiled and play in front of your family and friends. You go play for the Chiefs. You want a chance to win a ring? You go play for the Chiefs. May not win one every year, but damn it, if you sign a 3 or 4 year contract, there's probably a pretty good chance you're going to be in the Super Bowl and or win a ring.
That's correct. I got to say, though, I'm not the biggest fan of so many primetime games. You know, I'm just...
No, I mean, 5
sometimes
in the first 8 weeks.
Sometimes I want my Sunday night back.
That's
know?
A lot. 5 in the first 8 weeks is a lot.
Playing
that's a lot of prime time
days of the week, you know, throughout a season. Like, man, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Now, they did ask for the Christmas game.
I know.
They want to be that
I
team.
Know.
They played the last 2 years on Christmas. They want to be that. That's fine. If they want that, that's cool. They have a day. The Thanksgiving Day game, you knew it was going to happen. When the Cowboys are on the schedule and it'd be a road game, You knew this was going to happen.
Too. I'm okay with that. I'll watch it because it's an away game, and I can enjoy it at home. When it's here, you know, you're pressured to go, and yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right with it, I guess.
It's going to break all the records. You know, it's going to be the highest rated regular season game probably ever.
Yeah, probably.
Because people still watch the Cowboys. Regardless of them not having success, they still watch them. They do. And they, of course, they're watching the Chiefs. The NFL takes advantage of the Chiefs. They do. There's no other way to look at it.
Well, that's probably why they put the Chiefs in, because I'm anticipating the Cowboys not being that great this year. So, you know, you got to draw the crowd in.
Oh, I think Philly and Washington have put a stranglehold on that division.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Cowboys have taken a step back.
They have. Washington's right there. Steps. Of course, they met Philadelphia in the NFC title game. Philadelphia, of course, been the two Super Bowls with Jalen Hurts, winning one of them. Of course, you know that way too well because it was against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, of course, beat them once as well. People forget about Super Bowl 57. Forget about the fact the Chiefs did beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. They forget about that. But five of the first eight primetime games are the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's never happened in the NFL. And, of course, Thanksgiving and Christmas for this team. But don't forget, the Chiefs were also the first ever team to play a Thursday night game because on Thanksgiving they always have the rotating game. It's always the Lions and Cowboys, the first two. But the Chiefs were on the first rotating game at night when they played the Broncos. And that was kind of a favor to Lamar Hunt, the late Chiefs owner, to do that. But the Chiefs are the primetime game. First ever playoff game on Peacock. First ever game on Netflix. First ever Amazon Prime game. It's always Chiefs, man. Again, the NFL owes the Chiefs a little something. They completely do. But if I was to ask you why you wanted to go to St. Joe, what you want to see, what's the number one news of camp that you like hearing? Because you're not hearing anything about the running backs. Matter of fact, Nate Taylor was on with Carrington earlier, and he's like, hey, I really haven't heard you tweet about the running back situation. Which, to be honest with you, Chris and I, on that character concerns, we look at the draft next year, look at the running backs a lot, because we do think the Chiefs will get somebody later than Burchard that they got in the seventh round. I think the Chiefs will go earlier at running back because Pacheco will be a free agent, and who knows what's going to happen to Elijah Mitchell. And Kareem Hunt might be on his last legs this year with the Chiefs. So we don't know. But I think they'll be in the market for running back.
Yeah, for it's what'd you say? Probably by the fifth round, you think they'll draft?
I do.
Running back?
I do. Maybe a little earlier this year. Last year, the running back class was loaded. Burchard Smith goes in the seventh round. He would have been a fifth rounder like the year before.
That was the draft. We probably should have. You know, it is what it is. But going into this preseason, I mean, there's only one answer to this, right? Josh Simmons, right? I mean, I hate to be cliche about it. He's the camp darling, but also he was the number one draft pick.
It's not a lot of fun to watch a lineman, but
I'll tell you what,
these football fans are smart. That's what they want to see, man.
That handsy little fight kind of go with Ashton Gelati. That's the kind of stuff I like to see.
And Gelati's not small either. He comes from an MMA family. He's 6'3", 264 pounds. And
big boy.
Simmons had his way. Simmons has performed well against everybody.
I know. I'm just real nervous and a little after last year. You know, we tried this last year. It didn't quite work out. I just hope we're not rushing anything again this year.
Well, it's such a key position. I want to talk about the Chiefs offensive line when we come back. I specifically want to talk about Josh Simmons and what we've seen so far from him.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez, 96.5, The Fan. So Cedric Mullins was traded today to the Mets, right? He wore number 31. He asked the Mets to unretire Mike Piazza's number 31 for him.
How dare he?
The Mets have obliged. They're all in. Mullins will wear 31 with the Mets.
It's awfully brave of him.
Who knows if they asked him or not? Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? That was quick, though, man.
I guess.
Guys in their numbers, man. But they're willing to change usually with the guy that's come over, some street cred, comes over, they change the numbers. I don't know, man.
Well, Trey Lance throwing another touchdown, you know?
Oh, did he show another one?
That's right, 21-7.
Oh, 21-7 now, 1:51 left in the half. Trey Lance down 9 to 12, 97 yards, two touchdowns. Boy, the Chargers already growing bandwagon. Even though Herbert's not playing, obviously.
They're going to win the AFC West.
Yeah. Herbert better
that's what I'm told.
Put up or shut up this year, seriously. Like, he's already slipping as far as the elites because previous years it's been Mahomes,
so.
Jackson,
rightfully
Allen,
so.
Burrow, and then Justin Herbert. Now I see Jaden Daniels starting to squeeze in there. Jalen Hurts, I think, is still disrespected, 9th or 10th best quarterback in the NFL, which I think is crap. He's 26 and been the 2 Super Bowls. Super Bowl MVP, could have been 2-time Super Bowl MVP, but he's been the 2 and he's won 1.
Yeah,
so
he's also had one hell of a roster.
Yeah, had a good defense, and Saquon Barkley wouldn't bend.
Yeah, that's in a hell of an offensive line, probably the best offensive line. I mean, he's got some tools in his belt that also help.
And you know? Saquon, not bad at all.
No.
By the way, speaking of the Chiefs, no practice today, of course. They practice at 9:15 tomorrow. Defensive backs will be the ones signing the autographs. Then Saturday and Sunday, 9:15, both days, $6 admission, which is still nothing, family fun day on Saturday. But it's full team autograph Saturday and Sunday. So you don't have to worry about different positions groups. It's everybody. It's full team. Monday, no practice. Then they practice Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then, boom, no practice. The next Saturday, August 9th, preseason game 1, Chiefs at Cardinals. 7 o'clock. Hopefully that turf is decent in Arizona. But then they come back to St. Joe. They'll practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday's the final practice, Military Appreciation Day, final day of camp practice, and then back to Kansas City. And then it's back to normal, man.
Back to regular.
It shows you how fast it's been going,
right,
man. So fast it's been going. And it's been Josh Simmons every day. That's been the number one story. And it should be the number one story. Because the number one story was Chiefs left tackle battle. I mean, there's no other way to put it. That was to have that and to hopefully have it solidified. But again, we don't know yet. I mean, let things play out. I always thought no pressure, no rush on the guy.
That's where
you
I
have
was
four-year
at.
Contract. That's you got a fifth-year option. Go for it. But he surprised the man. He surprised the Chiefs. Because he was slow going when they drafted him, slow going out there, not to expect things, temper the expectations. Once, the bullets start flying, you start putting the pads on, things change. But he's withstood every challenge, man. Every challenge, and he's just locked that in, man. They trust him. And Andy Reid's not playing anybody if he didn't trust him.
Well, we said the same thing last year with
Kingsley. Yeah, we did.
And look what happened. That was a train wreck.
And Kingsley did set him back a little bit because they spent a second-round pick on him.
Yeah.
And that was
going
to be the left tackle of the future. And then this year you had to go back out and get a left tackle again, which was Simmons. But as I said, if he works out, which all indications look like he will be, this will be Brett Veach's best move. Because I consider we did his best moves, remember, last week. Obviously Tyrann Mathieu retiring, that was a big one because he changed the culture when he got here. I put Harrison Butker number one because back in 17 when Veach first took over, the Panthers had drafted Harrison in the 7th round. He lost out to Graham Gano. He was on their practice squad. Chiefs saw him, took him, put him on the roster. The rest is history. Kairos Santos got hurt. They went out and got him right away. And that, to me, is still his best move. Simmons, though, can be that, too. So if he does work out because of where they drafted him in the 1st round, yeah, Simmons can be the guy. And, he's going against Ashton Gelati that you mentioned. Ashton Gelati, 6'3", played at 275 at Louisville. He's like 264 now, 265, something like that. And just kind of threw him to the ground. I get it. He's going against Creed. He's going against some of the best. But he's standing up, man. His footwork and everything. Had Mitch Schwartz working with him in camps, which is huge. Having a guy like that help you out. Then, of course, all the help he's getting up in camp, having a guy like Andy Reid, former line coach, doesn't hurt at all. Andy Heck and doing all what they do. Juan Castillo comes in here to help out with the offensive line. It's kind of an intern for the season, for the summer. But he's good. And Jalen Moore, that was going to be battling for left tackle, was going to be him probably, and then Simmons backing him until Simmons is ready to roll. But now Jalen, taking over on the right side when Juwan Taylor was hurt. Juwan Taylor did come back, but then he sat out the last practice, back in there, Jalen Moore. Of course, Jalen Moore got some snaps at left guard where Kingsley is. Probably just acclimate him and get him used to playing there. I will say this about Kingsley. If that does work out and they have their left guard and left tackle of the future, huge. Because I honestly think guard is probably a better situation for Kingsley, to be honest with you, because obviously tackle wasn't going to work out. Yeah. But he's so big and he's so athletic. And that was one thing when he was attacking. He can really get out in space and move. Like, I know we get to see for a cup of coffee there against Denver at guard, but I'm real curious about him too, because that's so important too. Because you're replacing Joe Tooney. That's a first team all pro. I get it. Tooney, a little bit out of position when he's forced to play tackle for the team, but did, you know, a good enough job until you got to the Super Bowl. But again, you're replacing a first team all pro left guard. But then Jalen Moore sprinkled in and Caliendo. The more depth you have on your offensive line, the better.
Well, and he's got no excuses at this point either. I mean, he's got the best center in the game to his right and a number one draft pick who potentially could be, man, probably the steal of the draft. I mean, you better show up, man, at this point. There's no more excuses.
But it's so important. It shows you how important it was. I mean, you have three studs there on the offensive line, but yet the offensive line was the glaring weakness. It was why everybody mocked the Chiefs have an attack. I want everybody to talk about the Chiefs offensive line because clearly you saw it against Philadelphia. But the grand scheme of things, three Pro Bowlers on that offensive line in Tooney, Creed, and Trey Smith. Two of them first team all pros in Creed and Tooney. Now Tooney's gone, but you still have Trey Smith. He's now the highest paid guard in the NFL next to the highest paid center in the NFL in Creed.
That's what makes me nervous. You just didn't have a lot of money into those two positions that aren't premium positions. We just have to hope these two draft picks work out. We need them to work out.
Oh, they need Josh Simmons to work out.
Josh
Simmons working out would be the best thing for the future of this team.
Yeah.
Because I consider right behind quarterback, left tackle. And then shut down corner and top edge rusher right there, 3 and 4.
Yeah. I mean, they
but it shows you how vital that position is.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited about the possibilities. I'm glad it's been faster for them going forward. And I'll say this too: when you look at the Chiefs and the dynasty, and you say, "All right, why are they dynastic? What are they?" Obviously, it's Mahomes, right? That's top of the list. Then it's Andy Reid. You got to have the coach, quarterback, and both of them making the marks in NFL history. Some of the best ever. Mahomes, we mentioned, 17 postseason wins, number two to Brady. Andy Reid, by the way, second all-time in postseason wins as a coach, only three behind Bill Belichick. See, Mahomes is a way to go to get to 31 where Brady is, but Reid doesn't. Reid's only three behind Belichick all-time for NFL postseason victories. Of course, he won a ton with the five NFC title games he went to in Philadelphia. That carries over, of course, but he sits only three behind Belichick, one good postseason, and he's now your record leader. And then, of course, you got to have the Brett Veach's of the world, the guy that supplied the talent, the guy that goes into the draft with the purpose, makes moves like Parker Hanger for Sharius Ward, flipping that, grabbing Butker off a practice squad, throwing all these things come Spags down to the GM.
You got to throw Spags too in there.
And then you got the coaching staff, the guys that have been with Andy through thick and thin, you know, Spags not getting the head coaching job, stays on here. He's won three Super Bowls, defensive coordinator. You got Tobe that's been here since day one with Andy Reid. That stuff matters. But I'll tell you what, it's time to put the training staff there as well, too. It's time to put Burkholder in the training staff because they don't typically draft guys with health concerns. They just don't do it. But Trey Smith, the one of the guys with the blood clots and everything at Tennessee, slips to the sixth round, was pretty much earmarked to be a second or third rounder, to be honest with you. But the health concerns knocked a lot of people off with him. But the Chiefs did their homework on him. They brought him in. They talked about the medicals and everything else. They take a chance and draft him, and now he's the highest paid guard in the NFL. They did the same thing with Simmons. Bring him in for top 30 visit. You look at the medicals. You think, all right, this guy could be ahead of schedule. The Chiefs drafted him for a reason, clearly. I mean, they saw the medicals. They did everything else, and they believed it could work. I think you had to put the medical staff right there, man.
Why do they get such low grades every year? Because those NFL rankings?
It's a great question, but I'll tell you this much. If Simmons works out and he's that Pro Bowl, all-pro kind of caliber player, and you have Trey Smith, that people are concerned because Trey Smith fell all the way to the sixth. Josh Simmons would have been the first tackle selected. He's better than Will Campbell, in my opinion. He's better than Kelvin Banks. And he's better than Armon Mbembu that plays right tackle for the Jets. He's better tackle than those guys, or would have been, except for the patellar tendon injury. That's why he slid. But if not, he would have been right up there with the Will Campbells and Kelvin Banks of the world. People talking Armon Mbembu would have been talked about with them. I think he's a top 10 pick if he didn't slide.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was the best tackle in the draft, except for the patellar tendon, which changed things. Chiefs believed in him. That medical staff, I mean, if this works out, man, You got to put him right up there, man.
Well, and I wouldn't even give it that necessarily to the medical. I mean, I'd give that to Josh Simmons for, I mean, he came in ahead of schedule.
Well, truly, it's on him, first of all.
Yeah.
Number two, it's really on the medical staff giving the okay to Beach. Hey, man, we think this guy's going to work out. But clearly, when you look at the Chiefs and their success, you think Mahomes, you think Andy Reid, you think Brad Veach. If Simmons works out, you have to put the medical staff right up there, too. Agreed. You just have to.
Yeah, I agree.
Taking Trey Smith and now taking a chance on Simmons when everybody else is kind of passing on him, you got to put that medical staff just right up there with the Kansas City Chiefs. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. 913-586-7965, the J Southland Tow Service text line number. We'll get to some of your camp questions next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. 21-7 now at halftime of the Chargers-Lions. First preseason game. Did the Lions miss their opportunity, man? Did they miss that window? And the only reason I say that is I know they had a ton of injuries last year. But Ben Johnson ran that offense. He ran all those fancy trick plays, right? That offense was nails. Ben Johnson in Chicago. Lose the defensive coordinator and Glenn to the Jets. You lose your offensive defensive coordinator for a team that does rely heavily. Like the Chiefs losing offensive coordinators don't matter if Andy Reid's still here, right? Like losing Spags would have made a difference.
I mean, in my opinion, I think they probably have. But this year is going to prove it. It's make it or break it, I think, for the Lions.
I mean, the Lions quickly, you know, rising up the chart. Everybody loves them, you know, but can you stay good? That's why I look at the Chiefs, man. Seventh straight AFC title games. Man, it's tough to continue to be good, man.
I mean, they still have a really good roster. Don't get me wrong.
No, they do.
They have a really good roster, but they play in a tough division.
We'll see what happens. You know, 9 straight AFC West titles. That's so tough to do, man. You have what the Bucs have won 4 in a row. It is tough to win back to back to back to back to back like the Chiefs have done. Like, we take it for granted, but it's so tough to do what they've done, especially when you get the bullseye on your back. When everybody's coming up with different ways to beat you. And a couple years ago, people thought they slowed the Chiefs' offense down. But they still finished the season number one in points per drive. You know, two-way safeties, you know, came into effect. You know, they the defense played differently. They had Mahomes really throwing the ball more underneath last year than, of course, taking the top off defenses, hence 31st in the NFL with the air yards. But they found a way to do it, man. They found a way to do it. And then, you know, you look at it, the text line here was worried about Mahomes' numbers, saying that, well, they've been down. Well, they're going to be down when he's running for his life from that left tackle position. That was a big one. And when you lose the number one and number two receiver, and all of a sudden you're throwing to Justin Watson and a rookie, Xavier Worthy, until he was really ready to go, which he, you know, turned out ready to go, but you change your offensive system, right? And then you get a running back off the couch in Kareem Hunt, who didn't even go to training camp last year, and all of a sudden you look at this offense that had one first-round pick starting on it, Mahomes. That was the list. Yeah, Hollywood Brown's a first-round pick, but again, they went most of the season without him. All these other guys, the offensive line, second round, Juwan Taylor, second round pick. Second round picks all over the place. Creed Humphrey, second round pick. Trey Smith, sixth round pick. You know, that's what they did it. That's how the Chiefs, you know, did it. Travis Kelce, third round pick. You know, but they did it with Mahomes being first round pick, seventh round running back.
The Chiefs I don't think, last year or over this offseason, got enough credit for the amount of adjustments that they made last year. In order to win, they did what they had to do to win. And I mean, I don't see any other team, coach, quarterback being able to do what they did last year, considering the circumstances that they dealt with. I mean,
you give a lot of quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or even Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had Jamar Chase to throw to and T. Higgins.
I mean, look at
Jamar Chase was won the triple crown for wide receivers. That's talent. Now, would they do the same thing not having a Rashee Rice or Hollywood Brown? No.
Well, look at what Lamar Jackson had last year. I mean, that roster, much like this year, it was completely stacked. Look at Josh Allen in the Buffalo Bills with their offense last year. How many points they're putting up every single game. I mean, they were the number one offense.
Yeah, I'll give Allen credit because he scored 30 points a game and not very many household names on that offense. But, I give him credit.
But when it counted, what happened? You know what I mean?
Didn't get it done.
That's the difference between the Chiefs and the rest of the league. So you look at what they had to do.
You look at Mahomes' year, 3,928 yards. That's the less amount of yards he's had passing in the NFL because he's gone over 5,000 twice. 4,031, 4,740, 4,839, 4,183. And then last year, kind of a down year. But of course, you're going to have statistics like that if all the other factors are hurt. Someone asked me, am I worried about the numbers? Well, I'll say this. When Mahomes in 2018 threw for 5,097 yards and 50 touchdowns, you know what the defense was that year? The defense, he put up 50 points and lost a game. He put up over 40 points and lost the game to the Patriots. And of course, that 50 points put it against the Rams and lost. They were 24th out of 32 teams in giving up points. They gave up 26.3 points a game that year. Of course, you're going to put up bigger numbers when you have to. Like your numbers, probably you don't really want your numbers to be there for a quarterback. 5,050, that looks great. But it also means your defense is faltering. That Mahomes, he was playing just like he was at Texas Tech. Scored a touchdown every time. He had to do it. And then, yes, I get it. Mahomes threw for another 5,000 back in 2022. Let's look at the defense that year. That year, the defense was 16th out of 32, so right there in the middle of the NFL, 21.7 points a game against, so they were right there in the middle. So 24th out of 32, then 16th out of 32, the 2 years he had to throw for 5,000 yards. So granted, when the points per game is much better for your defense, guess what? The quarterback numbers are going to come down, or probably should, because you're not asking the quarterback to do more than he should be able to do.
He shouldn't have to carry the team that in that manner.
And, I mean, I know that, you know, this defense has been good. And you look at, you know, even last year.
I mean, the defense the last 2 years has really carried this team.
Well, 2024, they were fourth out of 32 teams in points against. They were only giving up 19.2 points a game. The previous year, in 2023, they were second of 32 teams in points against. Again, that's great. But your quarterback, you're not going to ask him to throw for 5,050 if that's what your defense is doing because he doesn't have to. Means your defense is keeping them off the scoreboard.
You know what you're asking your quarterback to do? Come in clutch when it matters most. And that's what Patrick Mahomes does, you know?
But again, that's what happens. So someone on text line 816 asked about Kingsley at left guard. Hey, if it works out, great, perfect. It's not going to be as much pressure if the left tackle works out. You're not going to be thinking about the guard as much. Just don't give up pressures and don't give up sacks. And also help out in the run game. Third and one, fourth and one, be the road grader. Be the road grader, yeah, because it's been a weakness. Because you can't run behind Trey Smith every time. You can't do it. Be versatile. Because one thing about the tush push is, even though the Chiefs don't do it with the quarterback, they do the tush push down the field. Like they'll throw Pacheco in the end zone or whatever. So they are very versatile. Trey Smith and company and Creed Humphrey get out in space and push from behind. They do it. So not the tush push in the general sense of the terms, but they still do it.
Of the tush push, yes.
But they still do it. And, of course, Andy Heck. Yeah, I did. I think I mentioned Andy Heck being on the offensive line. But, yeah, it's a guy that's been here all the time with Andy Reid that's been important. And also, what about Tyquan Thornton? Tyquan Thornton's getting some love on the text line. I'll say this about Tyquan.
Uh-oh, camp darling.
You know what he is? That would be my camp darling, to be honest with you. But the thing about it is he'll make this team. So Cam Darling or not,
I think so.
Don't forget, 2 years ago, he was the 50th overall pick in the NFL draft. The Patriots, he didn't play well for them. And you know, Juju didn't either. You know, the Patriots have a way to not do well with receivers without Tom Brady. Shocker. But that happens. And they've gone through coaching changes and everything else now, Vrabel there. But it's not been perfect. But again, put him in this system, I like the chances better. I like the chances better having Mahomes to talk to, having Andy Reid to watch what you're doing. I think it makes a big difference with the player playing here, and he's running the routes better. He's doing well at camp. And don't forget, he's 4.28 speed. I brought it up before, but he actually broke John Ross's record of 4.21 or 4.22 when he had a 4.21 at the combine, but then they watched the film and everything and gave him a 4.28. but he's extremely fast. Will he make this roster? I think so, because Rashee Rice is going to get suspended undoubtedly, probably at some point. It's going to happen, but Tyquan will be on this roster. So much so, Nate Taylor came on last week and said this about Tyquan Thornton.
The biggest winner so far, if you were to give this person immunity for Monday or Tuesday, that would be Tyquan Thornton. It's a wrap, guys. Healthy. He keeps playing the way he's been playing at practice. He is on the roster. He is a legitimate outside receiver. He is, and I've asked, you know, I think they add Tyquan Thornton to the roster in, like, December. You know, he's not going to play. But the whole point was, like, can you be better than Justin Watson? Or can you be a different version of Justin Watson from what we've seen over the last couple of years? Well, through the first week of camp, he's proven it. I don't need to see any more outside of just, hey, let's see it in the pass. Let's see it in the preseason game. You're a veteran receiver. Mahomes, I think, really, really likes him.
So he called it a wrap. And they just doesn't throw things in the hole to stick either. I mean, you know Worthy's on the team. You know Rice is on the team. You know Hollywood Brown's on the team. Jalen Royals can be on this team. And Juju. That's your five right there. Then what happens with your others? They keep seven. They kept seven on the roster in 24 and 23. Five the year before. So, okay. I think Nico's on the team, to be honest with you.
I think so?
I think Dave Tobe likes his return game so much.
But they drafted for that.
But I think it's Nico, and I think it's Tyquan. It's going to be over Elijah Badger and Holiday and Brownlee and these guys they have. They'll fill the roster, their practice squad up, some of those guys. But I do think Tyquan's on. I think that speed, and I think the fact that he was a second-round pick, 50th overall. It's not like he was a sixth or seventh-round pick or an undrafted guy. There's a reason why he was the 50th overall selection in the NFL. And that was just 2 years ago. He's only 24.
I personally think they're only going to keep six this year, but my big
question, with the suspension, even with the looming suspension.
Well, my big question to you is does Sky Moore make this team?
I don't think so.
It's the correct answer.
I don't think so. It's
too much
math,
depth at that
math
position.
The math just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Because how many running backs are you going to keep? Can you keep three or are you going to keep four? How many tight ends are you going to keep? Are you going to keep four or are you going to keep three? And it's leaning more towards them keeping four. And then it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Carson Steele. Are they going to keep the fullback position or not? And then trust kind of an H-back role with the tight end.
And I was a little disappointed in him last year for not he had an opportunity and he didn't quite grasp it the way that I think we would have hoped.
Text line 816 thinks Robert Tonyan is going to make the number three tight end. That's going to be tough.
Plays too, man.
I think it's Kelsey. It's Noah Gray. And I think it's Jared Wiley. I think that's your top three.
Think so?
And Jake Brittingstool, I thought, had a good chance as an undrafted guy to make this team, the tight end for Clemson. His problem is he's not been on the field. He's been hurt. That hurts you. That hurts your chances as an undrafted free agent not playing.
I don't know. Tonyan's made some plays.
Tonyan has.
And Wiley might end up on the practice squad.
And it's an NFL, you know, a guy that's been in the NFL.
He's a vet, man.
Wiley's good, though, man. I know Wiley got hurt last year. You didn't really get to see what Wiley's all about. But Wiley's a very, very good tight end.
He's got potential.
He can block. He can catch. He's also explosive with the ball in his hand. So, I kind of like him. We'll see what happens. Tanya's good, though, man. There's no question. He's a proven guy. The one thing is with Thornton is Mahomes has brought him up several times, and Andy Reid's brought him up. Like, that didn't happen by accident. As long as you have those guys in your camp, who else do you want?
Well, he's their prototypical type of receiver. So he fits right into
it. I mean, it's one thing to have the fans kind of want you and, you know, be a Justin Ross guy and everything else, but it's another thing if Mahomes and Andy Reid like you. I mean, that's pretty much all you need.
Not that speed.
Yeah, and the 4.28 speed doesn't hurt at all. If he can run the routes, if they can, you know, the route tree and be that guy they can trust. We know he can take the top off of defense. No, he can do that. Now the question is, will they have time to do it? Because that's one thing with Worthy. Like, he saw it against the Chargers, you know, that deep down the field, you know, what he could do. 4.21 speed, 4.21 speed. You can't teach that or coach it. Either have it or you don't. He's got it.
It's true.
Now you got to utilize that and give him more time, and I think they can utilize that. Just give Mahomes a little bit more time to throw. And, you know, we know Hollywood can do that. You know, when healthy, Hollywood misses a lot of games, no question about it, but we know he's fast. Again, speed. Elijah Mitchell, 4.32 guy, running back position. You haven't heard a lot about the running backs. I think you start hearing about them more and more going forward. But regardless, it's going to be fun to see what the Chiefs can do this year. I mean, there's a lot of injuries racking up now. Of course, these camps aren't easy. Andy Reid runs a very, very tough training camp. You had that, plus the fact it's been, what, you know, 100 real field temperature up there? I don't think it's supposed to rain this weekend, is it?
I don't believe so, no. And it's supposed to be, I think, usually in the 70s. It's supposed to be beautiful out.
It always rains in St. Joe on the weekends, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't see it in the forecast.
At least in Kansas City, 6% chance Saturday, 10% chance Sunday. So that's hardly any chances, right? But that's just Kansas City. I haven't seen St. Joe's. St. Joe seems to rain more than it does in Kansas City. We'll see what happens. But again, not this weekend, but the next weekend, preseason game number one. Can't wait. Anyway, we'll take a timeout. We come back. The Royals very active today. I'll kind of let you know what the Royals did today and what to expect, because they made move after move after move.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.